Can't believe it, but the holidays are coming. Now we're in November. Starting to think about Thanksgiving and Christmas makes you think about relationships. How's your family relationships? When they're good, they're good. When they're not, they're not. And it can make your season less joyful, right? Joy to the world, but not in our home today in the relationships. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. And in just 30 minutes, we got about a half hour here, I want to help you get intentional about your family relationships and help you find hope for the holidays and beyond. And our phone lines are open for your comments, your questions on our comment line at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. Okay? And by the way, can't believe it, but we're just a few days away now from the, we've been talking about the Intentional Love Marriage Conference, sold out several weeks ago, but Kevin Lehman and I will be in Albuquerque coming up on November 10th for this really fun conference for couples. Next time, listen, when you hear us coming, I hope you'll get your tickets early. Sorry, we didn't have enough room for everybody who wanted to come. We sold out about a month early for the conference coming up in just a few days. All right, let me see. We got Lisa on the line taking your family relationship questions today. And she has a, she wants to talk about her role as a grand, apparently as a godmother. Lisa, go right ahead.
My question is, I have a godson whose mom had him later in life. She was not supposed to have kids, but we know how God works. She's 47 and he is now just turned 6, but she says she's too tired to discipline him and he's rebellious in class. He's very disrespectful to her, but yet with me, he's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And I want to know, how much is it my responsibility to ensure that I'm raising him because she refuses to? And it's very important to me that he grows up because she is a single parent and she doesn't have a strong man in her life to help raise him, that he is brought up with some good ethics, but also some boundaries and consequences. But she's just too tired to discipline him, and she always looks to me to fill that void. So what can we do? What can I do? And how much is too far of me taking over raising him?
Yeah, well, you're the godmother. You're not the mother, and she needs to be the mother. And if every mother who said, I'm too tired to discipline, didn't discipline, we'd have a totally unruly bunch of kids. And so moms listening are saying, suck it up. It's part of the process. You know, you're going to be tired. It's part of parenting. Every parent listening relates to that. I think you start with the mom and just say, what's going on? Here's what I'm seeing. She obviously invited you into the child's life and into her life and talk about what does she need? How can you help? And come to some agreement on what you're going to do to support her, but don't enable her to become weak and less than the mom that she needs to be. Now, she has some physical limitations, or if there's some danger to the child, obviously you need to step in. But in the process, you don't weaken her. You don't weaken the mom. She needs to be stepping up. If anything, you're encouraging her to be stronger as a parent, maybe sending her some classes, giving her some help. But we can weaken people when we need to strengthen them. Okay, let's go to the, we're talking relationships, by the way, and our comment line is always open. Our storyline overflows with great stories that we can share on the air or questions that you have. 888-888-1717 with only about 3 weeks from Thanksgiving, or maybe even less, just several days away. You know that good relationships really matter. All right, let's go to Arizona. Yumi's on the line, has a daughter-in-law question. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. I was calling because I have a daughter-in-law who doesn't allow me to talk to my son or my granddaughter. She's threatened to leave them if they talk to me.
Why?
She's threatened my son.
Why?
Because we've had she had lived in my home since she was 16 because her father kicked her out because she got pregnant with my son. And she's been very disrespectful, but I think the thing that really broke our relationship even more was that I had told my son that she was cheating, and I knew she was, and so she got really upset. And my son called her out on it, and then he turned around and said I was lying, and he took her aside. There was other things that went on in the midst of all of this. But so now I'm not allowed to see my granddaughter. But now she told him if he has contact with me or allows me to see my grand or even talk to my granddaughter, she'll divorce him.
Well, it's very unfortunate, Yumi, but, you know, she's the gatekeeper. I mean, this is their marriage, their relationship, and your son chose to say, I'm gonna protect my wife and I'm going to defend her. And obviously you became the enemy, not only to her, but you had to him too. In other words, the barrier went up because you stepped into the middle of their marriage. Bottom line. Now, we're talking intentions and expectations. Your intention was, son, I'm concerned. I see this with your wife and I'm concerned about it. The expectation obviously was stay out of our marriage.
And I feel like maybe he shouldn't have asked me then, you know, because it wasn't the first time.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it had been several times.
Well, Yumi, here's what I know from many, many years of experience. This stuff tends to bubble to the surface eventually. If that's true and your daughter-in-law is being unfaithful to him and you say it, you imply there's a pattern of behavior, it ain't the first, it ain't the last. It's probably going to happen again. And your son will have to face that reality when it happens. So what do you do at this point? I think you pray for them. You leave the door open and recognize that we can't control another person opening the door to a relationship. And the more we grovel or beg or what have you, the less likely it's to happen. So I think with a sense of confidence in your own heart, and I hear your pain, Yumi. I mean, you're a mom. Yeah, I mean, you can't talk to your son. You can't talk to your grandchildren. You know, you're cut out. That's painful. That's just downright bad. And it's unfortunately happening all over the country. Many of you listening know exactly what this feels like. But you have to continue to be strong in your own life, be loving in your life, be loving toward them as much as you can. And in a time like this, time has a way of revealing these things. We'll be praying for you, Yumi. I know that's difficult. We're going to put you on our prayer ministry, okay?
Thank you. Mm. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Remember her today. That's a hurting grandma. Let me just say this, too, before we move on. Be very, very careful as a grandparent in-law where you let your mouth or your feet go, because your mouth can take you where it ought not to go. Some of you are saying, amen, Randy. We're talking relationships. A couple weeks here is a few days before Thanksgiving, and you know there's some pain in relationships. Ooh, our tongues have, like the James says, that can set a whole forest ablaze. Our intentions might be right, but the expectations on the other side are different. Very painful. All right. You're welcome to join us again and weigh in if you have a question on our comment line or story. Let's go to Lori, who's in Michigan. Welcome to the program. Lori, appreciate your call.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your question?
Well, it's kind of convoluted. I have a daughter who I just adore, single parent. She's getting ready to graduate college.
Mm-hmm.
And along with all of the drama that comes along with raising a child and going through everything together, she's just become a tornado with really fickle emotions, almost like rage has come out of her. She's been upset that she's been trapped inside of a house with me. She's trying to prepare me that one day she's going to move out. And I know she's recently started to get counseling, maybe about 4 months ago. It's hard to identify because I feel like I'm almost handicapped in a way because it's time for menopause. There's been some health issues, some financial issues. So I'm dependent upon her for some things, which has really kind of crippled me, and I'm not prepared for her to move out. And I'm trying to remember what it felt like at her age. You know, my mom wasn't holding on to me. But there's something that doesn't make sense.
Are you holding on to her?
Well, I'm not ready for her to leave, and I know she can't leave right now, but it's just a...
Now, when you say you're not ready for her to leave, does she feel that? That if she left she was abandoning you?
Well, she has prepared me to say, Mom, just start trying to look for a better job. I know you need me to help pay, but I would like to get a roommate. I want to find out what it feels like to live on my own before I get married.
And that sounds all normal for a 22-year-old.
Well, yeah, but it's just I'm not there yet, so that's kind of scary. But my bigger issue is just the disrespect and the abuse and the hostility towards me, where one day she's very nice. She's a praying girl. She's just a good kid. She's always been. But all of a sudden, just it feels like a role reversal. Uh-huh. Like she's putting me in a place, and we can't have that intimacy. And I've reminded mm-hmm. her, you seem to go back and forth, so I don't know if something's going on in her counseling. You know, her dad passed when she was 10.
Lori, let me jump in for a minute. I think you said mm-hmm. something, and we just kind of slid right by it. You mm-hmm. said, I'm not ready for this yet.
Well, practically I'm not, but that's not the only issue that's going on.
No, but for her, she's a 22-year-old young lady, college, graduated from college, wants to get on with her life, and you're feeling insane, and she's picking up. My guess, if I talk to her, she's probably picking up, my mom is not prepared. She's not ready. She's not financially prepared, emotionally prepared, or whatever for me to leave home, and I feel trapped. Because you said that's what she's been saying. Right.
Well, I think that's part of what she's been saying. But on the other hand, if I could disagree with her about certain things, as parents can do, if you're going to lose a job or you're going to, leave a job, I always say, well, give a 2 weeks notice, mind your own business. She's with a boyfriend who seems to be very disrespectful to me. But she goes, I know, but it's none of your business.
Lori, so. Listen, listen, I have to really jump in because your daughter's 22 years old and saying to you, Mom, I don't feel like I can leave. You better get ready because I'm going to be leaving. And you're saying I'm not ready and you got feelings about her boyfriend. And those, I'm not saying they're not legitimate. I'm just saying your daughter's in a different place in her head and her heart than you are. Again, your intentions and her expectations. Can I tell you one thing I would do if I were you? I would find a counselor. I'd say, let's you and I sit down. We got to kind of negotiate our relationship. Let your daughter share without arguing with a counselor to share what she's feeling so you can listen. And really listen, Mom. You got to listen to your daughter. And then you got to share what you're feeling and then come up with a plan of action. Are there some things in your life you need to prepare? She's 22. She's leaving. She's going to leave. And I'll tell you what, how she leaves will make a difference in the years ahead, Lori. If she has to rip and tear the relationship to get out, on her own, it could last for years, if not a lifetime. So I would really encourage you to find a counselor together so the two of you can talk, because there's lots of conflict, lots of poor communication. Is that something you'll do?
I see my own counselor. She sees her own counselor, and I try to talk to her. It's just that these rapid changing emotions, it's not always about me. It's just in life.
I really don't feel like you heard me, Lori. I'm really saying I think it's her counselor, your counselor, but I'm encouraging you for something different. I think the two of you have got to sit in a room together and really talk about this, because if you don't, her counselor is probably saying you need to break away from your mom and you need to get on your own, and your counselor's working with you. But I think at some point the two of you have got to get together and negotiate. She's 22. If she was 16, I'd have a different story for you. But she's 22. It's time. All right. Thank you, Lori. I'm thinking of you, praying for you. Intentional living. You know, intentional living begins in relationships. Understanding that your intentions aren't always, they might be good, but they may not always be received as good in another person's expectations. Okay? You're welcome to join us with your thoughts or comments, 888-1717 on our comment line.
Hey, it's producer Rob for Intentional Living. If you hear something on the program today and think, wow, I wished I could hear that later, you can. In fact, most nights before bedtime when things settle down, I pull out the iPhone and listen to that day's Intentional Living program on iTunes. And if you don't have an iPhone, just go to your smartphone's app store and download the Intentional Living app for free. And voila, you can hear any program on demand right there on your smartphone or on your tablet. And if you're at your laptop or desktop computer, head over to theintentionallife.com and then to Program Highlights, and you can access all the archived Intentional Living programs searchable by title and keyword. It's just one more way to help you live an intentional life in Christ. The website again, theintentionallife.com.
It's a statement, simple yet meaningful. It's a powerful reminder that you have purpose and direction. While the millions of other fish are heading into the net, you're living free and living intentionally. It's your stake in the ground. You refuse to live the lie and will now celebrate the truth. It's two simple words that declare you're pursuing the one thing today that will change your world tomorrow. It's the Intentional Living Wristband, and it simply says one thing. To purchase, go to theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, when you do, I encourage you, when you get that wristband, it's not just, hey, that's a cool wristband, but you would use it as an opportunity to grow in your life. And I wear the one thing wristband every day. And I must confess, some days I'm more intentional than others when I put it on. But on the days I'm really thinking about the day and maybe struggling with some things I need to work on or some priorities, I say, Lord, make sure today, encourage me. This is my one thing for today. And at the end of the day, look back, say, that was my one thing. So let me know. Tell us your one thing stories. We'd love to hear them. I mean, maybe you, as you use this wristband in your life, tell us about it. Love to hear it. All right, let's go to Kathleen. Kathleen's on the line. Welcome to the program, Kathleen.
Hello. Oh, my gosh. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm actually pretty good. So I have an adult daughter who many years ago used to drive in my car with me and listen to your program. She doesn't speak to me. She doesn't have anything to do with me. And her birthday is coming up on Thanksgiving. And I don't know anymore what to do because people don't call anymore. People only text or email or do social media. Mm-hmm. And she's not connected to me in any way.
Well, let me ask if you can, if you feel comfortable sharing, what was the break?
The original break happened when she was in college. She has since then graduated from college. The original break had to do with some drama that happened, and she just cut me off.
Drama in the family with you, and you got involved with it? Things were said that she didn't appreciate, that type of thing?
I believe that the words that came out of my mouth offended her, and she just cut me off.
How long ago was that?
The original issue happened over 6 years ago.
Did you ever apologize for what you said?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I did. And I via text, I was told that I was forgiven, but I was toxic and not.
That's a good one. Well, she probably feels that. What I'm hearing you say is she's chosen a different lifestyle than you have.
Or a different direction,
different priorities.
Yeah.
And so she's probably hearing, hey, my mom said this, my mom said that, here's what my mom thinks. And someone in her world said, well, your mom is toxic, cut her out.
Right.
Let me ask, this is a very difficult question, Kathleen. I mean it with a lot of respect. But if you were in her shoes, do you think you've been toxic to her?
I think that that some of the behavior that I exhibited to her in a very brief encounter was not justifiable, that I behaved badly. But overall, I don't think my behavior is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really heavy label to put on.
It is. It's a very powerful label. And that's why I ask with a lot of respect, because obviously, again, here's what happens in life. From intentional living, even in the relationships, we talk about, we judge ourselves from our intentions. Your intention, I'm sure, whatever the situation was, probably down deep, your intention was good. You were for her benefit. You were concerned. You were sharing things you thought she needed to hear. You were angry or frustrated. Whatever it was, your intention was good. But we are always judged by expectations. And so maybe her expectation was something different toward mom than you thought in terms of your intention. And that always creates, when intention and expectation don't match, it always creates a problem in a relationship. And so you may or may not be able to make a change in how she feels or what she thinks. She's in a different place. But I would encourage you to, obviously, as a Christian, Kathleen, to really pray a lot. God, tenderize my heart, tenderize her heart. Life is short. That we can have a point of reconnection, because you will. There's always family moments, like I said, weddings, funerals, good moments, difficult moments, when we have opportunity to get back together. I wouldn't beg or grovel with your daughter, but what I would do is maybe articulate, and I hate to put stuff in mail in print, because you put things in print, they're kind of there to be interpreted. It's better if you can do it in person. I would try to reach out to her and just ask, is there a chance we could get together and have lunch? And if not, just to be able to articulate in print. And if the old-fashioned way, that's fine. If you're not in social media, that's fine. Or she's cut you out. Send her a letter. And just simply say what you said to me. Hey, I said some things I shouldn't have said in ways I shouldn't have said them. But my relationship with you as your mom is so important to me. And I make a commitment that I'll love you where you are because you're my daughter. And put the ball in her court. Right now, the ball is kind of feeling like it's in your court. I think that's the one thing I would do, Kathleen. And certainly, I would continue to pray in the process. Talking relationships today, they can be great. They can be difficult. Love to have you weigh in. What do you think on all this? What has God taught you about relationships?
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
There's two dangers here, two dangerous moments that occur in life. And the first one, here it is, to say yes whenever you mean no. I think that's a danger point in life. To say yes when you mean no. Now, that may bring you short-term pleasure, but it always brings long-term regret. It always does. Or injury, or often damage. You say yes to sex when you meant no. You say yes to entertainment when you really, in your heart, you know, as a Christian, and trying to be intentional, you meant no. Or you say yes to the way you use your time when you really know you should be saying no to that. Or about money, you say yes to spending money using credit card when you know you should be saying no. And there's always that short-term pleasure. There's always short-term kind of a relief from saying yes to something you know to say no to. The help for our members this month is that topic you just heard an excerpt from the teaching, The Power of Yes and No, and knowing the difference between the two, because when you say yes when you mean no, can bring regrets, but so can saying no when you mean yes. And that's the teaching this month. And by the way, this month, because we're now in the holiday season, this month of November, we have a special book that we want to send to all of you who will either join us as a new monthly member or share a gift, a single gift with the ministry to help us here near year end with Intentional Living. It's a book that's very sensitive to the season. It's called Made to Thrive at Christmas. It's a book that'll just encourage you with devotional thoughts and ideas and things that'll just lift your spirit during this Christmas season to come. Made to Thrive at Christmas for everyone who'll share a gift with us today. And if you join us in monthly support, we'll add The Power of Yes and No, the monthly teaching on CD, come right to your home, and every month a brand new teaching. There's no minimum monthly gift to become a member. Our most popular giving level is $1 a day, $30 a month. But again, whatever God lays on your heart. Plus the added bonus that we'll be sending the CD to you each and every month. So call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Again, that's 888-888-1717. When you do, press number 4 or go online to theintentionallife.com. All right, we're talking intentional family relationships today, and you certainly can call with your story or your comment, like Nicole did in Arizona and wants to celebrate some very intentional family members in her life. So, Nicole, go right ahead.
We have a daughter who has special needs, and we're so grateful to have our parents really step up the role of grandparents and come alongside us in this journey and in the trials that come along with that journey. It's hard to keep your marriage and keep your relationship with Christ as the forefront when your child has medical needs. But they have allowed us to, by coming alongside us and supporting us, really keep God as our focus and keep our marriage strong, because they have been a strong support for us, and we're just so grateful for that.
Well, that's a good a reminder. Kids and young people who are have the grandparents involved, be able to recognize them from time to time. They need it too, because it is more tiring, I'm sure, for mom and dad at this stage. But to be able to step up and help, I'll tell you, as a grandparent, that's a great blessing for grandparents as well.
It is. I mean, people give us a lot of credit, and we're so grateful that it's all by the grace of God. And we see God working in their lives, that it's hard to watch your grandchild struggle, you know, with pain and with other issues. And it's hard to watch your children struggle as their parents to a child with a medical need. But they are warriors too. They're prayer warriors. They physically support us when, you know, if we're in the hospital, with learning the things that our daughter, you know, has to go through. They're very involved, and it's just, it truly is a gift from God, and we are so very grateful, and we try to acknowledge and thank them as much as possible for that.
Mm. Well, that's good. We certainly enjoy hearing a celebratory story here, because there are many. And it's easy to focus on the parts of our family that don't work or the relationships that don't work, and we miss the ones that are working. Kind of like the prodigal, right? You think about the story of the prodigal, where the kid that stayed home, the son that stayed home, was feeling like, Dad didn't pay attention to me. And it's so easy for us to focus on the hurting relationship that we forget the ones that aren't hurting. Just a thought. So thank you, Nicole, for that reminder. You know, we talk about the five essential areas of life here at Intentional Living. Our spiritual life, our faith. We talk about our relationships, marriage and family. Talk about finances and health, and we talk about work. Because these are essential areas to the joy of life and the purpose of life and why God has us here. And when we're intentional, we find that things go better. Life is better. Relationships are better. I don't hear anyone say, boy, I'm so sorry I was intentional with my life. I hear a lot of people say, I'm sorry I was so unintentional with my life. That's why we're here to help you in pointing that direction. You'd lots of resources and help available on our website at theintentionallife.com. And so I would challenge you today, what one thing can you do in a relationship today that would make the biggest difference tomorrow? Maybe it's to be silent. Maybe it's to pray. Maybe it's to make a call. Maybe it's to do something. Whatever that one thing is, do it intentionally, okay? We'll see you next time right here at Intentional Living.